Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Emerging Enterprise Radio, featuring high growth companies and their trusted advisors.
Welcome to another episode of Emerging Enterprises. I'm your producer, Kevin Finn, and we got Van and Taylor in the studio as usual.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
I'm laughing at the intro. They're trusted advisors and
popping and locking it.
And we got a guy popping and locking that's a trusted advisor for one of our local companies, and this is going to be a fun show today.
I know it's going to be a fun show. I'm stoked. This is my favorite time of the week, not because it's my last show and it's almost the weekend, but because I get to visit with you guys.
Aww. And we're having this much fun without beer.
That's so sweet.
We're dry. We're a dry studio.
It's a dry county today. But Taylor, how you been?
I'm good.
I don't think I've seen you since last week.
I know. It's been very busy.
Yeah.
But it's good.
You got to Monday Night Brew this week, though.
I did. So recap, if you've been kind of listening to our show, we had Chris and Joel on. Chris from Hope International and Joel from Monday Night Brewing.
And you went to that event?
I did. I went to the Microbrews for Microloans event. And wow, what an incredible. They reached their $10,000 goal.
How much did you donate? You donated $5,000
of that? I donated my
time. You got the big deep pockets. So.
Yeah, I was, you know, shuffling around to find that quarter to donate. No, I donated my time to help them do some live tweeting, actually. So.
That is awesome. Well, that's really valuable.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're looking forward to helping them in the future with things like that. Mm-hmm. Such a great cause.
Yeah, it really is. And those guys dollar goes such a long way over there. So.
Exactly.
Well, those guys were great. There was the most listened to show as far as people tuning in until today.
I've got a feeling
that the two people in the room with the two companies in the room that they represent, it's going to be a fun hour.
They're raising their roof, they're dancing.
Jason, this needs to be a webcam show.
Oh my goodness.
This needs to be a webcam show. Let's go ahead and get Jason out of the way before he does something that I'm going to regret. To my left is Jason Dominey. He is a wild and crazy guy, but we're excited to have him on the show.
Greetings.
Jason has been in social media since it was a baby, since it was when everybody was a guru of social media. So 6.5 years, he's been on the brand side of things. He's been in the specialty coffee community for coffee roasters. And he had a focus that was primarily on social strategy. He did some community management and some influence marketing. And in July of 2013, he joined the agency world. So he crossed the line and went with Moxie, which is now Engage. Moxie's now Engage, right?
Engage is now Moxie.
Got it backwards. But while he was there, he wrote and oversaw content and social strategies for brands that you may have heard of before. I think I'm pronouncing this right. Coca-Cola?
Yes, Coca-Cola.
What's that?
Wells Fargo.
My favorite.
UPS. And there's this company that keeps coming up. I'm going to have to go check out this restaurant. Chick-fil-A.
Eat more chicken.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I keep hearing about it.
Chick-fil-A.
I may or may not have had it in the parking lot.
Chick-fil-A.
In the parking lot.
But the company we are proud that he is representing now, he moved to the Dalton Agency here in Atlanta, where he oversees all the social strategy, all the content, all the consumer brand. You do it all for their Atlanta office. Yes. Welcome.
Welcome. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we are very much so glad you're here. Not just work. You're happily married.
Happily married. 12 years.
Tell us about April.
So my wife, April, of 12 years, is in the teaching world here in Atlanta, and she enjoys long walks on the beach, rides in my Mini, and
bushy beards.
Bushy beards. Yes. So. Finally, after 4 years,
boys.
She doesn't mind.
Doesn't mind. You've broken her in.
They're the sweetest. I love you guys. Well, yeah, seriously. It's great.
Well, we're kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
They are.
Together.
Speaking of big deals, across from Jason is Miss Eileen Cole.
Hello.
Come on,
how
Eileen.
Are you?
That's my jam.
That's got to be the jam.
There we go.
I love her bio. She's part of an awesome team of young go-getters who make up a company down at our friends, Atlanta Tech Village.
Oh, we know.
Yep. Called Insight Pool. I just heard the big applause, I think, from here. I heard the whole team just went nuts.
Whoa, that was crazy. Good job.
She's the director of social media for the fastest growing social tech startup and recently had the honor of traveling to so many exciting destinations. I get jealous every time I see her tweets. She's been to too many conferences, basically. WOMMA in Nashville, Blogwell in Orlando, South by Southwest, which will be a topic of conversation today, in Austin, and then really, I think one of the bigger ones, the one in San Diego, Social Media Week. That is crazy.
Social Media Marketing World actually is my first time out there. So much fun. We even had time to visit the Gaslam District at night a couple times and check out the beach. So it was a great conference and city overall. It was
fun.
Well, we're excited to talk to you guys. So glad y'all are here. And I want to give each of you just a few minutes to tell us about your specific companies, what they're about, what y'all are working on, and why everybody should be excited about y'all. Jason, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so Dalton Agency is a PR and marketing agency based out of Jacksonville, Florida. We have offices in Jacksonville, Orlando, Atlanta. I'm going to miss a couple of those offices. But
you're
we
the
have,
new guy. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like I just learned where the bathroom is last week.
Yeah,
yes.
So I know. I can tell. I'm kidding.
So we're based out of Jacksonville, and we do a lot of PR and marketing for companies like McDonald's, Legoland, the Jacksonville Jaguars. We do some work for the state of Georgia and other clients. And my primary role is, again, social out of our Atlanta office. We have a really good, close-knit, small team at our Atlanta office. I think when I was at Engage, which is now Moxie, I think I worked with around 200 people. And now I work with about 20 people. So it's a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
But I got my own office, and that's pretty sweet with a door and everything. And
so a window?
I got a window and a door.
That's the best.
Completely underrated.
Mini fridge.
Completely underrated having your own office.
It totally is. I just close my door and blast some Quiet Hounds, get some work done.
Perfect.
It's pretty awesome.
Little Business Radio X.
At Quiet Hounds.
That's it. That's all
there
you need
go.
To know.
Yeah.
So sounds similar, Eileen, to Insight Pool, another rad group of people.
Right. So we are a social media software company based in Atlanta, one location. It's awesome. We love being here. Basically, what we do is we help big brands build stronger relationships with their target audience at scale in a proactive manner. So similar to Twitter advertising, except we have the ability to go out and directly engage those people most meaningful to the brands. And we work with B2B and B2C. Some of our favorites are Oracle, Demandbase, Home Depot, and Weather Channel. Those are local, and yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think that's why you and I connected a while back, and so tried like crazy to get her on my team and lost out. But
I still
no
love
hard
you,
feelings.
Van.
Yes, and both you guys are such fans of ours, and the reason I was so excited about having you guys on is that often we'll tweet about people and brands and companies that get it when it comes to social, that it's just a relationship and it's just a conversation. And both of you guys and your companies do a phenomenal job at connecting online. And so what's been the biggest win for you guys as far as connecting relationally with other companies and really helping them get their word out?
I mean, I think the key is understanding that every company has a story to tell, and our roles are primarily storytellers more than anything. Mm-hmm. And so for me personally, like when I find out about a client that I have, my first role is in learning that company's story and then in figuring out the best way to tell that story. Because again, every company has a story, whether you're a large company like Coca-Cola or you're, you know, a small mattress company like Colgate Mattress here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
We just had them on last week.
You did.
Did you really?
We
did.
You did. And
nice.
They're a client of ours, and I do social with them. And they're a great example.
It's a great family-owned business.
Family-owned business, and that's the story. And so my job is to help tell that story very similar to what they came in here and did last week.
Well, we're live tweeting as we're talking. Do you know their, by chance, to put you on the spot, do you know their Twitter handle?
I do. It's at Colgate Mattress.
Okay. We'll give them a shout-out.
Colgate Definitely. Mattress is a great, if you didn't catch it last week, they're a great family-owned company that makes crib mattresses. And they make the best high-end
They're one of
mattresses.
The industry leaders. They are the industry
They are.
Leader.
They started the trend towards high-quality crib mattresses in a time where crib mattresses were just basically foam pads.
Yep. Wow. That's all. I mean, I'm probably the oldest guy here by far.
Van so wants the, one now. That's so the kids. He's going to build a big mattress out of a bunch of small cribs.
I feel like an awful parent for putting my kid on a foam mattress. Though.
You should.
Whoa.
That's the point.
Oh, well.
I'm just kidding.
You should. I'm tweeting that out.
So, Eileen, you guys are having some fun at Insight Pool. Tell us some what's going good over there.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a little bit more about how we help our clients. Basically, one of our good friends, Brian Kramer, who's pretty popular in the social media world, one of his phrases is, it's not B2B or B2C, it's now H2H, basically human to human.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's important, you know, for those brands to so not just be, like, automated and, you know, yep. not warm enough. Like, we help them kind of create that sense of sincerity on social and provide the means for them to directly talk to these consumers.
Yeah, because that's whose content's more important?
Right.
Mm-hmm. The content you're putting out as a business or the content your consumers are putting out. Mm-hmm. And how do you engage them? Right. So the human element is huge.
It's huge.
And
for sure.
And I'm so glad that's refreshing because so many companies are staying on the automated side. How can we make it leaner? How can we make it, you know, we're automated and you got us on the other end of the line.
Well, it's really like the Wild West right now. How are you guys sort of staying in front of it and trying to be forward thinking so you can stay ahead of the curve? Because technology is constantly changing. These social media platforms are constantly changing and evolving. They're like, well, we're going to try this or that. And how are you guys staying in front
of
it?
You are exactly right. Even Twitter, they're constantly evolving. So just staying up with the times. And we have an awesome team of engineers who are always there to tweak things and innovate and create new abilities for us to share with our clients. So that's a big part of it. It's just being agile and being able to work on the fly and come up with new things.
And how did you get really involved in this? I can tell you're really passionate about it. You really enjoy what you do, and that's a huge thing. But how did you get involved with all this?
Funny story for you, actually. I started working for Insight Pool because Insight Pool targeted me and proactively reached out to me.
Wow. What a great story.
I know. It's like the best testimonial. I know. That's what we say. We say we sip our own champagne.
I like that even better.
So, yeah, actually, basically last summer, I got a direct message on Twitter from Insight Pool, who I was already following. Wasn't really aware of who the company was or anything. I just saw they were local, and that's why
do you want us to pay you money to do stuff? They're like, yes, I do.
No, so in their DM, they said, oh, hey, we just got a new round of funding. Help us spread the word to become one of the, to help Atlanta become one of the fastest growing tech cities in the world. Mm. So, basically, I responded and said, I'll help you spread the word if you give me an interview. You know,
nice.
I thought at that
why
point,
not?
Nothing
that
to
awesome.
Lose.
Well done.
Why not? And
she's so my style right now.
I know, I love it.
This is so something
literally
I would do.
3 days later, was in the office interviewing, and probably 7 days later was actually physically working there. So.
That is an
that
awesome,
is awesome
story.
I love it.
I love
that's
it.
A great story.
That she is. Said, show me the money.
Something like that.
But, you know, you had a live person on the other end of that tweet, and that's what is so important. And so, that is a really cool story. You got anything to top that, Chase?
Yeah, actually, I do. I started a,
yes, I do.
I started a project online called the 2D to 3D Project.
Yep.
Oh, this is great.
And the 2D to 3D Project is basically where I realized there was a lot of people following me on Twitter that I had never met in person and didn't know them physically, although they were following me on Twitter. And I felt a little weird about it because I would check them out. It'd be at Van Baird is following you, and I would check him out, and I go, oh, I want to follow him. And then I realized it's kind of awkward because we'd never really physically met.
Yeah.
And so I just started seeking out these people off my followers list and inviting them for coffee or
just
lunch.
Have this image of just knock, knock, knock. Hey, you followed me on Twitter. I would like to thank you.
Exactly, and invite you to coffee. And so I've just been connecting with people who are followers of mine on Twitter for coffee or lunch for the past year and a half. I had one this morning, had one yesterday morning, and it's been a really unique way to bring, like I call it, making social again.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole key component. Like, I feel like in doing this, it makes me better at my job because I'm better able to understand that these are not usernames and avatars. These are real people, and we need to treat them as such when we communicate with them on social.
Well, it's not a numbers game anymore either. It's not that, oh, well, I have 5,000 Twitter followers. It's I have 5,000 relationships that You really can leverage. These people go, oh, I'm going to listen to this guy. He bought me a macchiato.
Finger snaps.
Yeah.
Preach.
So that's huge.
I mean, the key with social right now is quality over quantity. That's the key in life, but mm-hmm. definitely in social right now, it's quality over quantity. I don't care if – I'd rather have 2,500 people that are actually engaged than 10,000 people who are not engaged with my brand.
Right.
Well, definitely. Well, media is being consumed so differently now, and it's just the whole platform's changed. I mean, you have crowdfunding, you have all this, and the big companies really don't get it. They don't know how to keep up with it. I mean, even television companies with Nielsen ratings and the way they do business, it doesn't work anymore. We don't consume media that way anymore, and it's just, when do you think they're going to get it? When is it going to, like, when are they going to start to pivot and start getting on the new media train?
Well, Fox just did. I mean, the guy that's heading up Fox now said, we're out. You know, we're not playing the fall previews and running that. We're going to pick some shows, and we're going to run with it, and we're going to make it work around these shows.
Good.
Because it's such a DVR world. You know, it's a pull it up later. Well, and
it's on demand. I don't have cable.
Which is, it's kind of aggravating the way British television does it, but that's just it. I mean, you might get three or six shows, and then it's gone for a year until they can get everybody back and do it again. And so there's not this treadmill mentality. So when television catches up, it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, for sure.
That.
But speaking of so many different media channels, you guys both, unfortunately, I didn't get to go, went to South by Southwest this year, and you guys represented the ATL pretty darn well.
Hold it down.
Yeah,
hello,
you did.
ATL.
Oh, my gosh. If you guys didn't hear, there was a whole parade that everybody from Atlanta put on. In Austin.
Everybody from Atlanta.
That's right.
It was the jam. And the pictures were great and the videos were great. But for those who don't know, in y'all's own words, tell everybody about South by Southwest. Eileen, let you go first.
Sure. Basically, you think you know what your schedule is going to be like, and not so much. You get out there and it's all on the fly. I mean, you kind of want to set everything up tentatively on your calendar so that you have a chance to check out some of these secret parties and random hangouts that come up. And really, I mean, you don't know who you're going to meet on the street. I saw a few cool people walking by, and I got to see Girl Talk live.
Girl Talk's awesome live.
Yeah, that was one of Spreadfast's secret shows that I got into, so that was pretty cool.
Because I want to ask you about secret shows, but for those who don't know, South by Southwest, to say it's a multimedia experience is an understatement. Mm-hmm. It's not just for social media. There's bands, there's TV shows, there's entertainers, but the classes that you can go to, the talks that you can go to are geared to a ton of different, and it can be completely overwhelming if you're not prepared. Mm-hmm. So Jason, how would you define South by Southwest, and why did you want to go?
So I think the thing that's important to think about when you mention South by Southwest is that there's actually three festivals that happen over the course of almost 2 weeks. There is the interactive portion, which is the portion that we were most a part of, which is tech and mobile and social and that whole space. And then after that, or while that's happening, and after that is the film festival portion of South by Southwest, and then the music portion happens after that. And so when you say South by Southwest, I had in my head the music portion of South by Southwest, and really it's a whole lot more than that. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about the sessions that we went to or tried to go to during the interactive portions, these are all sessions that are related to social, where we're at, storytelling, trends, and things like that. And then of course you have the surprise concerts and the bands and things that are happening at night. So the key was to try to get as much value out of it as we could with so much noise, because I feel like it was incredibly, and having never been before, and having thankfully won tickets, compliments of Choose ATL and Southern Fried, thank you to those guys for sending me out there. But having never been out there, I didn't really understand what it would be like. And then to see it live, to see it kind of unfold. It's a really noisy environment, and you have to weed through the noise to try to find value.
So how do you do that? Because you made a point, Eileen, we talked earlier about getting there early enough, but I think it was also before the show. I mean, connecting, the networking piece. Mm-hmm. How do you get into that element of the show?
A big part of that for us was actually Twitter lists. Before we even got out there, you know, on our way there in the week and the week before that, we were able to kind of set up Twitter lists, some of them private, some of them public, on who we knew we wanted to connect with out there, and then some public just to be like, okay, hey guys, I'm going to be here too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big part of it.
Well, yeah, and I'm so glad you brought up Twitter list, because I get that question a lot. Not that I have 10,000 followers, but when you see people that have a multi-thousand followers, 100,000, million, you know, how do you manage that? And the pat answer coming back a lot of times is, oh, we have a list. And so they're not literally keeping up with 10,000 people or 100,000 people, mm-hmm. but they're pulling up individual lists they've mm-hmm. categorized. And that could be a great way to manage Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, we're going to be giving something away just to the people that are listening on the show here in about 10 minutes. So stay tuned for that. But you can only, we'll give you a keyword that you will tweet out, but you can only get it if you're listening to the show. So that's coming up in just a little bit.
I was just going to say really quickly, I think that's the first time we've actually touched on Twitter lists this entire series of our show, which is very interesting because it is very powerful and it definitely keeps you organized. And I don't know how you would not do it without having Twitter lists.
This is the part where I'm really embarrassed, because I've been a part of social since it started, and I have close to 3,000 followers and still have not gotten around to creating Twitter lists. And I say I need to keep doing that.
No, I'm kidding.
But I just
can we mute his mic?
I don't have the time to do it.
Yeah,
but
no,
I know
I
that I need to do it
kind of far behind
to be more
now.
Organized.
Yeah.
I'm way far behind.
Yeah,
I'm reacting.
But you do such a good job going back to the 2D, 3D relationship that you know who's on your lists, and you're very particular with who you follow and that kind of thing. So it doesn't really apply that much to you, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's like what you said about I know who follows me. And I mentioned at the SoCon class that I taught that I go through all my followers and weed out all the fake followers. And if it's Jimmy's mm-hmm. windows, I block them.
Yeah.
So I know that everyone who's following me is a real person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want the engagement piece. If they're not real, it just waters down your numbers.
Definitely.
So biggest takeaway from South by Southwest for each of you? Is that too broad of a question?
Yeah, it was obviously girl talk.
Cricket.
Gus's fried chicken.
Gus's
fried chicken.
That's so great.
Barbecue, breakfast tacos.
So the food's good, the entertainment's good.
Yeah, I'm sure it
was. Austin was a beautiful city. I think the thing that I most took away from the festival itself, the South by Southwest festival itself, is that everything is becoming a lot more human, and storytelling is such a key component of all of this, which is kind of interesting because I attended some classes that talked about brand interaction. I attended some classes that were related specifically to my field of social media management. And then the last class that I took was a session on behind the scenes of Portlandia, with Carrie Brownstein and Brett Armisen. And basically they sat up there and told the story of Portlandia. And at first I thought this is the one session that's not necessarily related to my field. But then as they began to talk about the story of Portlandia and how it comes about, I realized that that is storytelling, and that what they do is telling the story of a Portland that we all know and love. Because if you've ever been to Portland, you understand Portlandia is a reality show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Fred does put a little bit of a twist on it, but
he does. But but the brunch lines, the chicken to farm table.
I feel so bad. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, the funniest skit ever is the chicken to farm.
It's totally true.
It's. I mean,
what?
You just need to pull it up on.
Am
Hulu.
I the only one?
Yes. I'm lost.
Okay, good.
Okay.
No.
I still like the Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll be tweeting some of these like things out. And
yeah,
I can,
we'll have to find the link and put it out.
Later. It's
I love all of them.
The chicken. Oh my god. Anyway, all right. So, but from a social media engagement, from a fan engagement, talk to us a little bit about what you took away from there and how you got better. You know, doing what you do on a daily basis because of South by Southwest.
Yeah, so to piggyback off of what Jason was saying, with just getting to go to these different panels and sessions and listening to these thought leaders in the social space, it was really cool not only to hear their true insights and storytelling, but also be able to meet them in person. You know, just hanging around for 5-10 minutes when they're done, most of them are just regular down-to-earth people. And in your mind, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like, you know, a social celebrity. But really, they're happy to talk, tell you stories, give you advice, and it's, that was a big takeaway for me.
Jason?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I was walking down the sidewalk, and I passed Edward Baig, who's like a tech writer for the Wall Street Journal, mm-hmm. and I was just like, hey, that's crazy. But I definitely think having conversations with not just the people who were leading the sessions, but just people that we were standing in line with about the whatever the subject was. Because, you know, a lot of these classes you had to wait an hour for to get in, and we would just sit there and talk about whatever we were there for. We would mention about where we came from and what did we do, but we talked a lot about what are some trends that you're seeing in the social media space? What are some trends that you're seeing in marketing overall? And so I find that the majority of the value that I got in conversations happened outside of the classes themselves and just with conversations with other people who were there like myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's really big too. I have a question for you guys. What advice would you give to give any up-and-coming kids that see this new creative space? They're really passionate about it and they really want to get into it, but they don't know how to really break into it. What would you tell them if they want to be you guys, superstars?
Yes, tell me.
I would say be proactive and network. I mean, everyone's willing to help. All you have to do is ask and just get to know people. And really, I mean, that's all it takes. And go to events in your area, too. There's always different social media clubs and gatherings going on. And the more people you go to and the more you make an effort to go out and meet these people, the better your chances are.
An intern and insight pool, obviously, right?
Exactly.
I was just going to say that we're in a different day and age, and I think this is the first generation that we're in right now where you can actually create your own career and destiny.
Yeah,
I've never seen that before. Yeah. Where like if you have an idea of what you want to do, you can create that for yourself just by going out and getting it. That's where I feel like when I shifted my career from the specialty coffee industry into the larger marketing segment, I basically had to recreate myself, and I put a lot of work into what's my plan on how I'm going to do it. So I met with as many people that were in the field as possible and actually coincidentally ended up working with some of those same people at Engage. But I met with them and said, basically, what do I need to know? What do I need to be looking at? What do I need to be learning so that I can get where you're at?
And they said, you need a bushy beard.
That's precisely what they said.
That's why I'm working on mine, just
oh
because
my
of Jason.
Goodness.
Everybody's doing it.
And there are so many different places in Atlanta to connect. I mean, if you just get on the meetup circuit, I mean, just there's so many that pop up around Atlanta. And then certain companies will just put it out there themselves. I mean, I think Plywood People's got something coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm going to. It's just a lunch.
We had Hive on here.
Hive's coming up next month. It's less than 40 days away. And there's going to be – and there's still early bird tickets for that. I mean, they only have a very limited number for that. It's a very limited number for the event. I mean, Hive Atlanta is an awesome place to connect.
I attended the last one.
Yeah, were you there?
I attended the last one. I found it very beneficial just in terms of networking and engaging with a lot of people who are doing really creative, innovative things. I think, you know, we've talked a little bit about Aaron Tuning the past couple of days. He's the Chop Armstrong guy, among many other things. But
yes.
I got to meet out with him.
All winter long.
I got to meet and hang out with him for a little bit, and I was just fascinated at his story. Yeah. And Hive is a great opportunity for you to gather with creatives in your area and network and just hear their stories.
Yeah, and if you understand the power of digital and you understand the power of social media, they've got, Hive does, a meeting coming up for potential sponsors. It's going to be a small room, but it's going to be kind of fun to see the volume coming out of that room on social media that night and how vast of a name they're going to make in 2 hours with their hashtag, with that event, because it's going to be a huge focus on getting the word out that night. And so if you want to be a sponsor, if you want to be associated with a lot of young entrepreneurs, you can still hook up with Hive Atlanta. It's Hive ATL on Twitter. I think there are sponsorship meetings next week. Don't hold me to that, though. So, yeah, great event. All right, let's give away a T-shirt. It's a comfy T-shirt.
It is a very comfy T-shirt.
It is so comfortable. So if you're listening to the show, this is the only way you can do it. We're not tweeting this out. But Eileen brought the extra comfy Insight Pool T-shirt.
The limited edition Insight Pool.
It is a limited edition because after
and she
this
signed
edition,
it. I think
I'll autograph it.
We'll get Eileen to autograph it for you. But it's comfy, cozy, and here's the hashtag we want you to use. The T-shirt is next level apparel. That's the T-shirt. So if you can hashtag at the Relational Equity account, hashtag next level, and that you're listening. So I want a next level t-shirt. You can, we'll pick a winner or maybe more than that, because I think we have a few t-shirts.
We'll pick a few, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get that to you sometime later.
Get on my level, listeners. Get on my level.
All right. So some questions from South by Southwest for anybody that's going. Eileen, you actually had a pretty good list that you sent to us. Best place to stay in Austin?
So we actually ended up staying at, well, actually we stayed nearby, but the best place to stay would be the Driscoll. And that's a place that you have to book way in advance. Obviously, I'm talking almost a year in advance, but that's
crazy.
Kind of where the nightlife happening is in terms of like networking with the big people at the event and that kind of thing. They have a huge lobby, like lounge area and a couple different bars in there. So I would say do that. And if you're on the budget-friendly side, I would say try Airbnb. There are a lot of people in the city that are willing to, you know, let people stay in their room temporarily. So
yeah,
very cool.
A little couch surfing.
I'll be definitely looking at that.
Well, Airbnb is awesome. Oh, yeah. So I haven't heard any bad stories from any of my friends that have used it either, which is amazing. I was expecting some horror stories.
Wow.
So where'd you stay?
So don't stay where I stayed.
Because we won't mention them then.
Because I booked at the last minute, because that's when I got my ticket. I ended up staying out in Round Rock at the Red Roof Inn, which I do not recommend for many reasons.
We just lost that sponsor. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Red Roof Inn in Round Rock, Texas. I definitely don't recommend staying there, but I would highly advise you to stay somewhere downtown and be central to everything that's going on downtown, because one thing that was key or important for me is because I was staying 20 minutes outside of town, I had to limit my drinking very heavily every night, which meant
that limits your fun and your education. So.
Well, you just have to be careful. You just have to be cognizant of it, and you have to think about that. So
right.
You go to parties, you know, some of these parties, you know, you might have a couple of drinks, and then you go to another one and you might have a couple of drinks. You're not thinking about it. And then if you have to turn around and drive 20 minutes, it doesn't work. So I was very, very careful of that. And if you want to be a part of that whole party scene that's going down there, and be careful, stay downtown for sure. Plus there's Gus's Fried Chicken.
I've heard.
Think the commute is a part of it too? Like, you've got to leave and then you got to be back early in the morning. So it's like there's that commute too.
And then you have parking.
Yeah, right,
parking, which is $20 to $30.
Breakfast, which probably has E. coli or something.
The Red Roof Inn in Round Rock, Texas does not have breakfast.
Does not have breakfast.
They did not have a vending machine with any drinks. They did not have a stocked vending machine.
Did you have a bed?
I had a bed with hairs on it.
Stop.
And
you were in Sochi. You were in Austin.
And cigarette burn holes.
Nice.
It was not nice.
Red roof problems.
You know,
hashtag red roof problems.
Hashtag, that's a t-shirt.
There are sites out there where you can check out the hotel you're staying at beforehand to find out if it's a good place to stay. But the cost, you mentioned you know, just the cost of where you stay in the hotels.
Yeah.
The event itself is not inexpensive.
No,
it's not. I think the ticket that I won, which was a gold badge, was around $1,500.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, we'll tell you this, and this is probably not something that they would probably advise, but there were a lot of people there, and I had a lot of friends that were there badgeless, and they were able to do quite a lot of things.
They were ninjas.
They were climbing fences, but they did a lot of things without having to have a badge.
So learn parkour, and you can get in for free.
Scale
right?
Anywhere you want to.
Anywhere.
So, where? Just to change the subject a little bit.
No, you're good.
So here in Atlanta, where's y'all's business coming from at this point? Because we are in the social media world. It seems like it's a lot more B2B that you're starting with. So, is it word of mouth? Is it referrals? Where's y'all's growth coming from, and where's the opportunity in digital?
On our side, a lot of it is the proactive outreach, just for starting these relationships with the people that we want to talk to on social, whether it's following them on Twitter or connecting with them on LinkedIn and kind of building that relationship before we make that call to try to go further with the business end of it.
They send a lot of DMs out.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, we want your business.
No, not so much. Not that.
No,
true,
but though. You know, I get emails from Insightpool just because I've been to a lot of the same conferences you guys have been, and they're very personal. They're very. It's. I love it.
It's a good
really
group.
It really is, yeah. They're just like, so hey, you guys, I just want to let you know I'm going to be here. And it's like, wow, I'm not going to be there, but thanks, you know? So it's great.
Yeah, just to stay connected.
Exactly.
So whether it's business that you're trying to procure, what about hiring? I mean, do you guys, obviously they found you that way, but you were proactive in that. Are you guys actively starting there first, whether it's no? Okay.
No, actually, we're really based on recommendations of people that we trust. We really value that. So really not too much research on our end, just based on what we hear, word of mouth, and recommendations from local people.
What about Dalton? Where are you guys finding good people?
So I'm the first social person in our office in Atlanta. It's definitely a word of mouth kind of recommendation kind of thing. That's how I ended up in the position that I am. Joe Kaufman, who is a former colleague of mine at Engage, is an amazing, talented young professional here in Atlanta. I worked with him at Engage. I respect him a lot. He recommended me to the position that I'm at now with Dalton Agency, which I'm extremely thankful for. And obviously, I'm there. So a lot of these companies, whether it's Insight Pool or a lot of these startups, they're hiring based solely on word of mouth, from other people, recommendations. Yeah. And that's why it can be a little frustrating and daunting for people who are trying to break into this field, because, you know, these jobs are kind of taken by those relationships. But that's why it's so important to spend a lot of time cultivating these relationships and networking, because you just never know when you might need them or when you might be able to help someone else.
Well, you and I had this discussion once before because I had a friend that was wanting to get into this business. And your first question was, well, does he have any community management experience? And I said, well, no. Is that something that you guys are hiring? He goes, and your answer was, you got to have it before how do you get that experience then?
You just got to do it. You just got to, you need to be active and social yourself.
Right.
I would say that thankfully I don't have to do any interviewing of that sort, but if I were interviewing for anyone via social or regarding a social position or even, even tech position, I would check their social channels themselves. And I say it a lot, but it's actually the reality is that your social channels and your LinkedIn profile are your current resume. The days of the paper resume they're long gone, because anybody can just write a bunch of stuff on a piece of paper, but your LinkedIn profile and your social channels will actually tell exactly who you are, what you spend your time on, what you're passionate about. And so if I could recommend anyone trying to break in, and I have conversations with folks all the time, especially here lately, who are wanting to break into the social media space because it is hot right now, I would say spend a lot of time investing in your own social channels.
Yeah, yeah. I've never hired anybody because of their resume. I've not hired them because of their resume.
There you go.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, based on what you said, too, we hired an intern recently who, from word of mouth, we heard she was good, but after we heard about her, we looked her up on all the social networks. And actually, because she had a high clout score and she was really active and knew what she was talking about, that was really a big eye-opener for us.
So clout?
Clout, yeah.
I have a score of 77.
Nice.
Pro.
77 is tight, man.
One day I will see some sort of value from that. Currently...
Clout perks.
This is why I have such a hard time taking it serious.
McDonald's
because
perks.
I have a clout score of 77, and the only perks I get are for McDonald's.
That's what I'm saying.
Me too.
That's what I'm saying.
McNuggets.
They're exactly. Come on. They're like, get fatter.
All right, well, we're hitting up clout while we're talking.
Okay,
so
let's do it.
You got it, or you want me to do it?
No, you do it. Okay. I'm like distracted
because
over here.
different camps have different takes on it because they won't share exactly how they do the rankings, and nobody knows exactly what goes into it. But there are companies that are paying attention to it. Airlines are doing it. Clubs.
Hotels.
Mm-hmm. So if from an event standpoint, I've had this conversation a lot. Why would you not invite somebody with a high clout score to your event? Just give them a ticket. Let them come in and just say, hey, would you tweet about our event for us? Come and enjoy everything you want to enjoy. Here's your full access badge. But you can. It is still an indicator that people are having conversations. If it does nothing else, it shows that your voice is being amplified.
Exactly.
And
it shows that you're active.
Active enough to get people to talk back.
Right.
Because you can be active all day long and not have people talking back.
I mean, I actively engaged, I guess.
Yes. So you had to use clout to judge people that you who you were hiring.
Probably just a quick Google search too. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Google will show you so much, and I don't think people realize that. I actually saw someone on my Twitter feed, I think it was last week, saying, hey, clean up your Google search before you're like applying for jobs, because anything I pull up is going to be on Google, and it's just it's embarrassing how these
Can
people
be.
Don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even then, one of the clients that I represented, they had a policy that they did not respond to anyone who had profanity in their timeline. And so before I responded to people who were mentioning the brand, I had to go through their timeline, and I was amazed at the things people write on their Twitter feed every day. I was blown away by it, because these folks don't realize that is their resume.
Yep.
And one day that stuff will come to haunt them.
It's so true. And you know, you have a heart. I don't want to not follow somebody because of something in their bio or whatever. But that stuff is out there, and when you're talking about trying to make it into the business, you're judged on it for good, bad, or indifferent. And there's some companies that could care less, you know, what your language is, and then others do have an understanding of, though, that's going to be a reflection of our brand. That's you represent us. So even what you do after hours, hey, dude, get your own Twitter feed. Don't have it be associated with us by any stretch of the imagination. So
I still think that is bad, having a separate one for your nightly, like, you know, escapades. It's like, no, you are you. You
right.
know, be transparent enough to have that single one that you
keep a paperback diary, basically.
Exactly.
Keep it in your closet.
Exactly. Write it in the sand.
Exactly. Oh,
so,
man.
What's coming up on y'all's time horizons as far as really cool things that are happening at y'all's companies that we need to know about?
So I'm excited because I'm leaving Tuesday to head to Jacksonville for a week for OneSpark, which is the world's crowdfunding festival.
Very cool.
OneSpark.
OneSpark. I believe the website is b1spark.com.
Okay.
And OneSpark is the world's crowdfunding festival. So there's going to be $3.5 million up for grabs for projects from investors there. It is a very large festival. OneSpark is. It takes up 20 downtown city blocks in Jacksonville, and it was so successful last year that they're doing it again this year. But they're actually getting ready to in September to launch their first global OneSpark, which is going to be held in Berlin. So if you've ever seen Shark Tank, this is a very, very large Shark Tank with $3.5 million up for grabs.
Wow.
Holy cow. So it's not just nonprofits. I mean, it's startups.
That's what I'm saying, Van. You need to go.
It's huge. That album.
Represent relational equity.
That album that you want to cut of children's hits.
Yes.
You should go down there. So it's a large event. I'm headed there Tuesday through Sunday to capture the event.
Wow.
Again, as it unfolds with different projects and people that are doing it. So
how can we follow that? Is there a Twitter handle?
There is, actually. I believe the Twitter handle is I'm going to check it to make sure.
Yeah, check, because I was like trying to look, and it was an egg. OneSpark is an egg.
That can't be it then.
It's a B. It's at B. One Spark. So B1 Spark.
Got it. You tweeting it out?
No.
All right, I will.
I still can't find it.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
sorry. Number one.
It's at
I'm
it's
special.
At BBE 1ONE Spark.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's coming up next week, and it's a huge, huge project. But what's really interesting is that it not only stimulates the local tech community down there in Jacksonville, but the larger community at whole for people who are creating and coming up with new things.
And so you guys are playing a pretty big part in that?
We play a huge part in that, and we'll be doing a lot of social stuff and capturing the event as it happens every day. That's going to be one of my primary roles, is to capture the event as it happens and shoot it out to the land.
So how do y'all manage events like that? Is it a command center mentality? Is it one person? Is it?
Yeah, it's definitely a command center one mentality. I think we'll have 3 or 4 people on the ground. We have three folks in Jacksonville who are out of our Jacksonville office that have been working on it